It's time for the number one talk show of Eastern Connecticut and Southern Rhode Island. The Stu Breyer Potpourri Talk Show on 1310 WICH. Now here's Stu Breyer.
Okay, a pleasure to have with us Michael Letts. Let's talk to Michael. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Stu, always a pleasure to be on your show, and thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, well, first of all, people need to know a little bit about your background and certainly some of the things you do, like raising money so policemen can be more protected, because more than ever, they're being shot at, and that's very sad situation. Mike is a law enforcement veteran with over 30 years of experience, president and founder and CEO of the Invest USA, which we're going to get to very soon. But a couple of things that we can talk about while I've got you. And of course, I don't think it's any surprise that a man who's supposed to be protecting our country, Homeland Security, Mayorkas, is obviously not going to be impeached. They're not going to have a hearing. They're not going to have a trial. And if there's anybody that should lose their job, in my opinion, Mike, should be him. So what is your take on all of that?
Well, there's no question you're right there. It's part of a well-orchestrated movement. This is not just poor management or negligence. They are determined to bring America to its knees. Of course, how does it start? You have the Biden administration, who has been bought, paid for by the Chinese for years. They've made millions of dollars in selling access to policymaking into their office. Chinese are collecting that debt now by keeping open borders. Why do the Chinese want us to have open borders? They sell the chemicals for fentanyl. They're in partnership with a drug cartel. They're making billions. Besides, they're weakening our country should there need be a need to take over our country. They've got 40,000 Chinese young men of military age, single, by the way, who are now illegal entrants into this country. They have biotech labs, 13 of them so far, bioweapons labs, shall we say, across our country that have all kinds of chemicals we haven't even identified yet they're still functioning. Why is the Department of Justice and the Bureau and all not actively pursuing that? Because it's part of the overall policy by the administration to weaken the country. What does the administration get out of it? Well, they get enough illegal immigrants across the border. You know, they're strategically placing them where they want them. Putting them in congressional districts that need shoring up for Democratic votes. They figure they can get enough Democratic votes in the House to maintain control for a long time to come. They can also change the Electoral College count based on the number of House seats that you have. And so they can assure that they get a Democratic-controlled White House for decades to come. So that's their exchange. Now, is Joe Biden doing it himself? Well, his team is doing it. Mayorkas is part of that team. It's a mastermind effort to undermine the very soul of this country. And quite frankly, Stu, they're doing a heck of a job of it. The problem is it's treason, and it's destroying the American people. Plus, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We know even the FBI admits, the Department of Defense, I've got contact, I've been in intelligence agencies as well for some time, and we know that a terrorist threat is imminent on this country. May even look 9/11 look like a walk in the park. And they have got everything lined up and planned to do that, to help destroy this country, but it doesn't make any difference to this administration. This administration is only concerned about power and keeping it and holding it. And of course, they want to get paid on the side. They've got a sweet system put together. They demonstrated it in Ukraine as well with Burisma. And so you won't get any support out of this administration. And you saw that reflective in the Senate. You know what's sad as to is you can't get grown men who are senators, even if they are Democrats, to think for themselves. They stick together as a block. Makes no difference whether they're in a tough reelection state or not. They stick together, and by doing that, they usually get their way.
So the thing is, how can they defend Mayorkas? Because he hasn't done anything right, and the only thing I can do say to defend him is he gets his orders from the top, so he's just being a lackey. And when you're talking about impeachment, it should be more than him.
Oh, there's no question. What we really need, Stu, I've been saying this for the last few months, you know, the Constitution provides for one other option to handle people who think they're above the law. and this administration, along with the Homeland Security of Biorcas, with the Attorney General Garland, you and the Director of the Bureau, Ray Chris, and others, think that they're at the very top and they're untouchable. The Constitution provides for a military tribunal in that situation. It can be instigated by either the Commander-in-Chief, which you know Joe's not going to do something against himself, or by Congress, beginning with the House of Representatives and the Speaker of the House. We're hoping that the Speaker would appoint a military council to establish a military tribunal. And quite frankly, a military tribunal needs to review all the actions of this administration, determines which have violated the law, and quite frankly, there are probably more citations that they got paper to write down, determine what the punishment for the breach of such law is, and then they actually execute the sentencing themselves. They don't send it back to the Justice Department and say, hey, y'all take care of this from this point on.
So, Mike, what do you think of the
compromised?
What do you think of the revolving door with the Speaker in the House and the Republican Party? It's starting to look ridiculous, isn't it?
It is looking ridiculous. You know what sands, too? I mean, revolving door situation just makes us look horrible. But having speakers that cave in and allow the Democrats basically to still maintain the speakership just with a different name is just as bad. It's about time that we, the American people, say, enough is enough. We're tired of all the traitors, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. Clean house, and let's start over again.
So, Mike, then I'm going to go to another issue that I got an email about today, and that was about a police officer that was injured badly, actually, when we had the riots.
Correct.
And the Black Lives Matter, and there was one in particular case where a policeman was hurt badly, and I was reading about this. And to this point, no one was arrested for that? I mean, he was bashed, he lost his teeth. Was there ever an arrest on that?
There was an arrest, but he was quickly ran through the system, put back out on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And that case is pending. And quite frankly, you've got a liberal DA. He'll probably end up plea bargaining it out to a, you know, simple assault misdemeanor. And that'll be the end of it. What I think is going to make a difference in this case is the officer said, you know, I am entitled to damages, as he is. And I'm entitled to damages from not just the person who threw the rock or the boulder or the big cement concrete block, but I'm entitled to damages from the person who organized the situation, who encouraged violence against law enforcement. And that was Black Lives Matter. And their particular chairman of that Black Lives Matter event. Of course, they said, oh, no, that's free speech. We don't have any liability. Supreme Court just reversed it and said, nope, you do have liability, and the lawsuit can't proceed. I think what's interesting on this, that they would even claim that, too, because, you know, they're saying Trump should be held guilty and accountable because he, January 6th, even though he wasn't president, didn't do anything, and his speech actually said to be peaceful, but they're saying because he spoke, he should be held accountable as well. Yet when it comes to them, they want a different set of rules.
Mm. You know, the ever since the defund the police movement, which was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life, it seems like more and more people have lost respect for the police, and still to this day, you know as well as I do that many of them have been shot. Many of them have been wounded. It seems like every day we hear these stories. And I know how much you're involved with trying to help the police with protection and those vests that they should all be wearing. We had a terrible case just recently where you probably heard, I think it was in New York, where a policeman was killed by someone, of course, who should have been in jail. And even though he had the protection vest on, it was just in an area that killed him. So tell us about your role in Invest USA.
Well, what you're talking about is Jonathan Dillon. Let's talk about Jonathan's case for just a minute.
Sure.
And what Invest has done. And Invest was established in 1993. We had 52% of officers that had no protection across the country. Period. Zip. None. We were able to get that down to 19% now. The protection we provided at the time was the only thing available on the market. It's called a concealable vest. It's what you see they wear under their shirts, their Kevlar vest. But about a decade ago, the criminal element got a little more wiser. They started using more powerful weapons because a concealable vest will only stop a sidearm 9mm, 357, 38, things along those lines. So they begin to use the long-range rifles, the very high-powered pistols, would go right through the concealable vest. So we had to stop about 10 years ago, 8 years ago, and develop new technology. They're called active shooter vests. These vests have titanium plates in them. Will stop anything, long-range rifle, high-powered pistol, whatever it is. Problem is, those two, is that 90% of cops do not have these vests. Jonathan did not have one of these vests. So the shots that were taken in the stomach and in the back, the vest did not protect him adequately, and he bled out and hit him in the right spot. Hit the heart, killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But had he had on an active shooter vest, he would have been alive today. And that's why these are so important all across the country. You know, to follow up on what you had said, this is, we have the highest number of officers killed in the line of duty in history. We have the lowest morale of law enforcement in history. And we have the highest number of suicide rates among officers in history. That's how bad it is out there. And here to make sure your listeners understand, Stu, most agencies are now operating between 50 and 75% of capacity. Many of them are at 50%. New York City is supposed to have 40,000 officers. It's down to 28, and their budget, this just blows my mind, Stu.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have enough money for illegal immigrants to continue to provide them in a five-star hotel, $10,000 in credit card for incidental costs a month, because they don't have the money to pay for that this coming year, they're going to cut 6,000 law enforcement officers' positions so they have enough money for the illegals. So they'll be down to 20,000. You cannot maintain protection in New York with only 20,000 officers. And this is just one city. It's typical across Democratic cities, especially across the country. So that's where we're at as a nation today. Now, there's a reason behind the Democrats doing that. They were very careful when they set up Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and others. They wanted to give the perception that local law enforcement, your city, your county, your state police officers, were buffoons, racists, didn't deserve respect. Once they went, they got the mainstream media to buy into that. Once they went from there, then the next question is, well, if that's how bad they are, then why are we paying them? So they begin to defund them, begin to defund their equipment, not give the equipment. The natural consequence is officers begin to quit, or many of them were fired because of, you remember they also did the COVID vaccine. If you refused to be vaccinated, you were let go.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin to lose them in droves. Then once they begin to see how people thought about them based on the mainstream media, they didn't want to come back. And the reason why the feds wanted this to happen is because you see it in the last 3 years over the federal budget. Just like 87,000 IRS agents, armed IRS agents, were requested in the budget. They want to create the federal force. And why do they want to do that? They have already stated it publicly. I've got plenty of releases from them. In fact, I've worked with the feds. And their rationale is this. Violence is caused by guns. Notice they say it's not by the people that use the guns. It's violence is caused by guns. So if we remove the guns, we remove the violence. So what they want to do is make you so scared that law enforcement, local and state, can't do the job. They're going to come back and say, never fear, your federal government is here. We'll take over. We'll solve the problem. We're going to collect all your guns. Once the guns are off the street, what I mean off the street, I'm talking about legal guns, yours and mine, you have no way to defend yourself. Then you're at the realm of that government for whatever they want to do. From that point on, they have total control.
Mike, do you think there are certain guns that should be banned?
I do not.
You do not. Doesn't matter.
And let me tell you why. Do I think you need particularly high-powered guns? Not necessarily. But do I think you should have the right to them? Especially if we get into a situation, which we're headed down very quickly, Stu, to where people think this government is so rogue and tyrannical and out of control, you may have to defend yourself from government actions. You should have the right to defend yourself with whatever means necessary and available.
All right. That's an issue that's been tossed around so many times. And you know, some of the listeners say, yeah, I know this is this particular gun can shoot so many bullets. And he said, but, you know, I'm law-abiding. I use it for target practice. And why should I give it up? And, well, that'll go on forever. And then people in the NRA have said to me, well, if they started arresting people who have an illegal gun, maybe we wouldn't have these problems. And on
well,
we go.
That was a very true statement, too. But let me tell you, those who want to use weapons illegally to harm people will always find a way to get a weapon, whether it's a stick, whether it's a shovel, whether it's a knife or a gun. You're not going to change that.
So, Michael, these vests that you say are much better than the ones that most of the police are using now and are protected against just about any type of bullet, is it possible to make the vests bigger? I mean, you know, I know they're just like from the shoulder down, or are there any improvements in that way so they're more protected in more areas?
Yes, we do. We have supplemental equipment that goes with it. You can wrap on the arms. You can, you know, legs. Here's the concept behind it. If we protect your vital organs with the titanium, which is front and back, you know, you go all up to the shoulders, all the way down to the waist, then your possibility, even if you're hit, is increased exponentially for survival. We provide the other necessary equipment that you can wear as part of what we call padding to either stop a sidearm or slow down the impact of a high-powered rifle. You'll still get hit by it, but you have a great, much greater chance, unless it hits an artery and you bleed out because nobody's able to get to you. Mm-hmm. You have a much better chance of survival.
Well, that's what we hope for all the policemen, naturally. One of our listeners, Mike, has a question for you. Let me take this call. Hi, WICH.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. What's your question for my guest?
All righty. Who we got?
You don't know who the guest is? It's Michael Letts.
Okay, well, but, oh, God. You know what? I grew up on the Jersey Shore.
You grew up on the Jersey Shore?
I loved it. Loved every minute of it.
Okay, why don't you call me a little bit later? Call me a little later, okay? I'm not sure he's privy to what we've been talking about.
Yeah, I'm not so sure either. But, you know, back on what we've been talking about, Stu, I mean, every American deserves the right to protect and defend themselves. And how they choose to do that, we have the Constitution, the Second Amendment gives us that right to do that. And quite frankly, what the NRA says is there is some validity to their point. We don't need any more laws. We just need to enforce what we've got. Problem is they make laws against law-abiding citizens and do nothing about those who break the law. And that's where we get into a real situation that we've got to correct, Stu. There's no need to go after people that are not breaking the law. Go after the ones that are. But our judicial system is broke.
Well, that is
true. We have
true.
Liberal, you know, DAs and liberal judges that want to put them back on the street faster than we can arrest them. I can tell you, Stu, from personal experience, 32 years in law enforcement, sometimes they can get back on the street faster than you can get back on the street. And what people don't understand is when you arrest a criminal, he's back on the street faster than you are. You remember, he doesn't forget what you just did. Your family is now at risk. You're at risk. For what? If you don't care to prosecute, then why do you have us out on the street to begin with? But that's where we're at, unfortunately, in this country today.
Well, those that have common sense will say, well, how can they be that stupid? I mean, they have families, too. They want these criminals on the street.
You know, they when I talk to them, of course, I talk all the time with them, they actually believe, and I believe I would use the word stupidity. They wouldn't like using that word, but mm-hmm. They believe that if they show you some mercy,
yeah.
That you will recognize the error of your ways and you won't do it again. The problem when they tell me that, I look in the eye and say, okay, show me one case, just one, and I'll shut up. Because the fact about it is over 80 to 90% of criminals are repeat offenders. Obviously, you know, just turn around and let them back out the door. They didn't learn the lesson like you thought they were going to. What they did is they hurt innocent people instead. And so we have to learn that innocent, law-abiding citizens deserve priority, not the other way around. Right now, we place all our emphasis on criminals and on lawbreakers. We do the same thing with this illegal crisis situation, illegal immigrants. We're more concerned about whether they have a place to stay, food to eat, than we are about those who have served this country, defended this country, suffered because of it, and are homeless on the streets. That's a shame. Our priorities are just totally screwed up, Stu.
Well, I talk about it a lot, and I think the people who are rational and have common sense, just we walk around like bobblehead dolls shaking our heads. Like, what are they thinking? I mean, every day you read the same thing of somebody gets hurt or somebody gets killed, and then you say, well, yeah, they've been arrested 21 times. 21 times?
Yeah, exactly. And it happens, as you said earlier, Stu, now we're in a position where it's happening daily. Yeah. We're getting officers shot and killed almost daily. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. We take the mainstream media, they criticize and disrespect the office of who's trying to put their lives on the line, even if they don't know you, to protect you. We wonder why they're quitting, why we don't have any. We wonder why violent crime is spiking. And then we're not doing anything about it. It's because we have leadership that has gone rogue and corrupt, and it has to be held accountable. That's one of the things we've been saying with InVest all along. Stu, it's time for people to be held accountable for their actions. And I don't care whether you're the president or not. You still don't get away with not being held accountable for the actions that you take.
Now you've served us in law enforcement for a long time. What do we do? I know this is a Herculean question, but a lot of the crime has to do with gangs and drugs. Where are we going wrong with this?
Well, there's a couple things that we're doing wrong, and there is hope. First of all, what can the average citizen do? The average citizen can do a number of things. First of all, we have a very small, thin blue line that sticks in a break. Join together as Americans and help us rebuild our thin blue line. How do you do that? First and foremost, it won't cost you a dime. Next time you see a cop on the street or a firefighter, EMS worker, say thank you for your service. I appreciate your willingness to put your life on the line for me. All you have to say. Morale will turn around 180 and people will begin to get excited about the respect they receive from law enforcement. Second thing, if you can contribute, help them make sure they're protected. Help them make sure they can go home to their families the same way you want to go to yours. Go to our website, www.investusa.org. It's a charity.org. And contribute if you can. Makes no difference the amount. I want to be able to tell law enforcement that millions and millions of people across the country have their back and are supporting them. Third thing I tell people, and I know people get upset about this, but I just tell it like it is. If you're depending on law enforcement people to protect you, you're sadly mistaken. We do not have the capacity to do that anymore. If you want to maintain your security and your freedom for you, your family, your community, you're going to need to make sure you're armed yourself. Every American in the country needs to own a firearm and know how to use it. Won't do you any good if you pull it out of the box and don't know which end shoots. Make sure you know how to use it. And the fourth thing I would tell people is begin to rise together as a chorus and say, we have law enforcement's back, but we're demanding accountability. No longer will we tolerate elected officials who do not represent the people that they claim to represent. You're going to either have to support law and order or get out. Now, the other thing that needs to be done is, quite frankly, you said about gangs and things along those lines. Stu, I hate to tell you this, but we are so overwhelmed with law enforcement. The only way to bring back law and order the way it needs to be is we're going to have to invoke the military. We're going to have to close the borders immediately. We're going to have to. We've got 10 million people who are here illegal. People say, well, why do you care? Here's why. I care, and everyone listening to my voice should care. None of them have been vetted. We have no idea whether they're drug lords, gang members, whether they are terrorists. We don't know. So we have to round up every single one and vet them. Those that are obviously come from a background that's nefarious need to immediately be deported back to prisons in their countries. We need to get rid of them. The rest of we as a country can decide what to do with. But we have to engage the military. Now, how do we do that? I tell this is a controversial thing, Stu, but I've asked everybody to consider it. Every state has a state militia or a state guard. Every sheriff's department has what we call a posse or a reserve. Every police department has the same thing, a reserve. What are these programs? They're programs for the average citizen to volunteer their time, maybe 5-10 hours a month, to become certified, to become a part of protecting their community. I encourage every American, you need to get engaged with that now. because only by we as a unified people can we restore law and order now. We're too far across the lines. We can't do it alone as law enforcement anymore.
You know what you just said? A lot of people get the shivers with what you just said. But,
they do, but unfortunately, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. Particularly in some cities.
Where it's interesting, there are two. There's one in New York, and my staff just notified me. I'm sorry, I didn't remember that. I think Michigan. Yeah, two locations in Michigan and New York that their city councils or county councils have voted to establish a citizens' posse. Same principle, and arm new citizens and have them on standby should they be needed to help supplement law enforcement. We're headed in that direction. That's where this country is headed to.
Well, whether it be the president or whether it be your local government, they are there to protect the citizens. And obviously in some areas in the country, it doesn't look that way. So, interesting what you're saying.
It's going to get that way.
Mm-hmm. Let me just take this call before we part here. Hi, sure. WICH.
Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead, sir. What's your question, Penny?
I'd like to thank your guests for being on today.
Mm-hmm.
I think your guests would agree that our country is the most advanced country in the world.
Right.
Yeah, that might be true, right?
Yes, it is true, with no question.
All right, mm-hmm. So... what my thoughts go in regards to this issue of being an advanced country, why are we in this place now when it comes to the protection of American people? The American people make this country what it is. They have for centuries. And this is what we have to deal with. We got to deal with getting weapons so that we can kill others, we can do better than this.
Well, he's referring to protecting ourselves.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with what you're. Nobody wants to kill others.
I think we're going down the wrong road. I think we need to look at other countries, get some information from them, and see if we can work out a plan where we don't have to be having all this violence in this, the most advanced country in the history of the world. Thank you for listening.
All right, thank you for the call.
I appreciate your comments. I will tell you this, I have looked, because I've served all across the world, and I will tell you this, those countries that have law and order do it because of the fact that they enforce their law. They have law enforcement officers that are given freedom and liberty to arrest and to imprison those who would violate the laws. They don't confiscate guns. They confiscate the actions of people who break the law. Mm-hmm. When you show that you are willing to have a severe consequence, people have a tendency to want to not have those consequences and want to obey what they're supposed to do. When you create a climate that we just a revolving door, and we want to affect the legal citizens, those who are trying to abide by the law, we want to restrict their rights but allow criminals to do what they want to do, you get to where we're at today. And that's what we're going to try to do, is we're going to need to reverse that process.
Just one final thought that I have that I'll never understand is that when we have a city like Chicago who had a mayor that was so liberal and there was so much crime and the people are crying out, and then they elect somebody that's similar or worse. I don't understand it.
Well, the one thing I would tell you on this, too, is this. We've looked at those numbers. It is amazing the amount of corruption in our election system. It is frightening. And quite frankly, that's another thing that has to be addressed in this country. It doesn't do any good to have elections if they're not fair and open and honest. If people can just violate the laws without accountability, without consequences. We've allowed that in the past. That's got to be stopped. It's got to be changed. And every way that allows for corruption needs to be eliminated. You know, you go back to the old days, too. When I wanted to vote, I went in myself. I showed you my ID, identified who I was. You made sure I was a legal resident. I was not an illegal or non-citizen. I voted, and we counted them on a paper ballot, and we got done at the end of the day. That's the way to restore law and order and integrity in this country once again.
Michael, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and Michael, once again, is the founder and president of Invest USA. For those that want to make a donation to help our police and protect them, what do they have to do again?
They just go to our website. That's www.investusa.org. It's a charity. You can make a donation on site. All this information that you and I have been talking about, too, all of our programs are on there. Feel free to just make sure, like I said, the biggest thing you can do today, see a cop, throw up a hand, smile, wave, say thank you. All you got to do. Start there. We'll take the process from that point on.
Okay. Still believe there's more good people in the world, so in our country. I couldn't tell you about the world, that hopefully this will work out better. Thank you.
Thank you, Stu. God bless you. God bless America. Keep up the good work.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot.